SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Level 2. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. We're kicking it. We're not done yet. Cindy Bourne's going to join us from the Washington Post. Big card Julio Rosario steps up and in from the Windy City. Our Windy City Sports Report. Canada beats Argentina 99-87. We gave you the over 171.5 on the TV show earlier tonight. Novak Djokovic will not compete at the U.S. Open due to COVID-19 vaccination status. I thought people only complained about that when it happened, when it affects the Toronto Raptors or the Toronto Blue Jays. When, oh my God, Paul Goldschmidt can't play. This isn't fair. This isn't fair. Hey, jackass, you have the same rule and law. God, people are stupid. So as I stated like earlier, speaking of stupid, so Curt Schilling, this guy's a piece of work, isn't he? Like, seriously, like, if you fleece the state, if you fleece taxpayers for $75 million, which he did, like, if you don't know the story, he started a video game company, and he got the state of Rhode Island to, like, back it, and he promised all these jobs, and it was after the World Series, and they bought into the stupid Red Sox thing and all that, the bloody sock. So they basically, they fronted him, like, $75 million. And he never did anything. Like, he fleeced them. Like, he produced, like, there was no video game company. There was some company, I don't know. I guess he got ripped off or whatever, dude. Who cares? So, anyways, I feel bad. Hey, you lost $50 million in a video game venture. You should have been smarter about it. But the taxpayers of Rhode Island got stuck with a $75 million bill because you cried poverty and filed bankruptcy, and the state and the taxpayers had to pay. Seems to me that's a bailout, isn't it, Curt Schilling? Isn't it? Right? I'd like to, like, debate these people. Like, seriously, like, I watch some of these shows and some of these people say these things. It's like, dude, like, I know you live in your own reality, and when you just, like, only around people that all nod and agree, like, you know, in this, like, sort of, like, nirvana that you live in. But, like, imagine that. Like, imagine thinking, you know what, I really like to tweet about this student debt thing, but if I do, people are going to bring up the fact that I ripped people off for $75 million. So it's probably not a good idea, but no, he does it anyways. he does it anyways. You know, I've often felt that you're getting screwed over, that you should be in the Hall of Fame, that you're not in the Hall of Fame because of your, I don't know, your stupidity, really, your comments, but... You know, it's hard to defend you. You know, like I said, though, it's not racist. It's not, you know what I mean, offensive. It's just hypocritical. But that's who these people are. They don't, you know what I mean? It's the classic, they get mad at others for doing things that they do. Right? Like, you're all deadbeats. Well, yeah, well, didn't you take $75 million? Yeah, but that was different. There's always a yeah, but that was different then. That was a different situation, different circumstance. How about, like, bettors debt relief? How's that sound? Everybody lost money betting. We all get refunded. The Late Night Anger Man's Request. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. I'm often referred to as the Late Night Anger Management Professor, but I'm also referred to as an idea man. And here's an idea. It's probably not a good idea to have a joint practice between teams that just played in the Super Bowl because, I don't know, maybe tensions will be running a little bit high as the Cincinnati Bengals and the Los Angeles Rams will be playing their preseason finale against each other. We like the under in this football game. We like the under in a lot of these football games this week. Both games went under tonight, and I think that'll be the theme of the week in the final week of preseason play. We're 2 weeks away from the start of the National Football League regular season when the Rams, of course, host the Buffalo Bills. So the Bengals you know, all these teams do this. They didn't used to do this in the old days, but, you know, they've been doing it for 10 years or whatever, the last 10, 15, I don't know, whatever, 10, 15 years, whatnot. You know, the joint practice stuff, right? Because, you know, it gets tiresome, you know, practicing against your own team all the time. And, you know, you want to mix it up and test some plays out. And they're basically scrimmages, right? They're not preseason games. They're scrimmages. And oftentimes there's going to be pushing and shoving. And, you know, there's going to be pushing and shoving with, you know, on team. Like teams get in fights with each other all the time. How the Buffalo Bills got into a fight a couple of weeks ago that was started by Josh Allen because Josh Allen got bumped too hard in practice. He didn't like it. He started shoving people, and people started shoving him, and that's the way it goes. But the Rams and Bengals, this was like Hell in a Cell type stuff. Like, this was the best sport fight since the Angels and Mariners. You know, there's always the pushing and the shoving and the talking and stuff like this. There wasn't a lot of, you know, that much talking going on here. You know what was going on? It was Aaron Donald smoking people in the head with a helmet. So you see on the video, and the video is a little far away and stuff, but you see on the video, it's just sort of a mass of bodies, and there's pushing and shoving, and all you see is an orange helmet, i.e. a Bengals helmet. You see an orange helmet being swung like overhand, like multiple times, and then there's like a rugby scrum, and out popped Aaron Donald with the helmet. And Aaron Donald, like, smoked a bunch of people in the head with a helmet. I was wondering, can you get suspended for hitting someone with a helmet in a joint practice? I say, hell no! Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You are listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci.
The Late Night Anger Management Class, this is Sports Rage. Bryce Harper's coming back on Friday for the Philadelphia Phillies. What sport is that? Base what? Football. That's what we know right now. Football. baseball. That's right, there is baseball going on. Now we bring in a big White Sox fan, Big Card Julio. From the Windy City, our Windy City Sports Report, the Windy City Bulls play-by-play voice, G League and Chicago State basketball, and a man that was shut down by a sports book earlier for trying to bet too much. So what's the deal with this, Julio Rosario? What's the deal with this, Julio? Did you try to put together a 2016 parlay? Is that what I saw? Because I saw you said you sent me the screenshot of you getting rejected for too many wagers. So what was it, a 2016 parlay you tried to do? What are you doing, Julio? What's going on?
Oh, heavens no. Never trying for that big lotto ticket there, Gabe. I was getting ready for tonight's show. I'm getting all my plays set up, handicapping, and just looked like I had over 25 plays on the board. That was a big no-no.
Well, it depends. At this point, I think we all just need to live with ourselves and accept. It's like the promo that we play here of Bobby Riggs. Why should we give up the one thing that we love, right? If that's your lane. So, but let me ask you. So 25, what? Because, yeah, there's only what? There's only seven college football games, right? There's a couple of more. There'll be lines, too, for some of these other games on Saturday. They're not, you know, for some of these other ones. I want to look at that, actually. Who else is playing? Because they're going to post lines for some of these other games we haven't talked about, actually. But so was that college football, Julio, and soccer? So what were your plays here? How'd you get to 25?
Yeah, it's like a Polish smorgasbord buffet there, Gabe. It's college football, it's MLS soccer, European soccer, NFL. I'm avoiding that stickball for now, especially after tonight's White Sox game. But it's mainly soccer and football as we gear up for the fall.
Oh, stickball. Yeah, how about basketball? FIBA International. I know you like the international stuff. You see Canada tonight against Argentina.
You know, I didn't see that game specifically. I heard you talk about that. Great job tonight, Gabe. Tip of the cap, 9-0, especially calling that game. But I want to start. You know, I mean, those lines aren't going to be as sharp as people think they are. So let's.
Well, how about this, Julio?
Why they're hot?
How about this? USA tonight. I also gave this on the show. USA, Uruguay. I said the total was one. It was 157.5. I was like, come on, man. I said, that's way too low. The U.S. is going to score a boatload. Final score, USA 105, Uruguay 71.
And again, that's not a USA team with its stars per se. These are some G League guys. These are some reserve guys in the NBA. But they can still score. So, again, those are soft numbers. Take advantage of them while everyone's focusing on their 10-team baseball parlays. Let's attack some of these sports that aren't getting as much handle as they should.
Oh, you're damn right. You're damn right, Julio. Just looking here. What happened with Venezuela? It's Venezuela, Venezuela and the USA on Sunday, but Venezuela played the Bahamas tonight. I don't see. I'm trying to find the final score here for you. Julio's got some Venezuelan. Julio to Venezuela. USA and Venezuela. Oh, that's actually next Sunday, not this Sunday.
You get my hopes up there, Gabe.
Yeah, I know. So sorry about that. It's Colombia versus USA on Monday. Colombia versus USA on Monday.
Hey, and South American basketball is, I wouldn't say on the rise. Argentina is still the class of South America. But if you give me a decent number, I might take Colombia on the spread. But I'll take the over for sure.
Yeah, so Venezuela beat the Bahamas 86-81. There was another win we gave on the show. I said, take Canada on the money line, parlay with Venezuela on the money line. See, that's what I'm saying. I do well with this international stuff that people get scared of. Oh, I don't know this and that. It's like you said, Julio, the odds makers don't know either, right? You bet the NBA, you bet the NFL, you bet these sports, bro. You're betting against MIT math guys and computer algorithms and simulators.
Right.
You bet this stuff, bro. You're betting against an odds maker. You're betting against some guy in Costa Rica that's like, I don't know, let's make the total 157.5. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
They don't know. They don't, like, they, you know what I mean? They don't know. Like, there's no expert, Julio. You know what I'm saying? It's not like, oh, yeah, I'm going to know what's going to happen when Canada plays against Argentina in Victoria, B.C. tonight. They, you know, the rosters, they don't know the rosters. The players never really play together. So it's a challenge. Like, I'm just saying, so look, Canada guys, Canada were 8.5 point favorites. They won by 15. They were up by 26 at one point. So they took the pedal off the metal in the fourth quarter. The USA were minus 19.5, and they won by, what was it? They won by 36. So you see what I'm saying, Julio? Yeah, the odds makers are a little bit challenged with this stuff, bro. They don't know what to set.
I think back a few weeks ago, it was the FIBA Asia Cup, and they heavily favored China. China barely won games against Bahrain.
Oh, that was a tough one. I gave up on that tournament. That was hard to pick winners in.
Yeah, I mean, the computers, I mean, whoever was putting the algorithms together, again, they heavily favor certain teams. They assume certain guys are going to play. That's how I feel about college football. Let others and let every sports betting show talk about the big games in week one or week two or the SEC, Big Ten, whatever. Let me focus on UTEP. Let me focus on New Mexico State. Let me focus on the Hawaii's of the world, the Northern Illinois, the MAC schools. Let me focus on them. Let me attack those soft numbers while everyone else goes after Alabama or Texas. Have fun with that. I'll enjoy the UConn Huskies this Saturday against Utah State.
Well, I've got Miami, Ohio, Julio. Love this bet if you want to get in on this. Miami, Ohio to win the MAC East division. So not just the they don't have to win a conference. They just need to win a division. So the MAC Eastern division, Miami, Ohio, you get plus 137. Love this play. It's a nice little plus money play. And as we stated, guys, you don't have to win the conference. You just need to get to the championship game, and you win the bet. I like that a lot. So I wanted to ask you, though, Julio. Wyoming, me and Teddy were just talking, and I'm seeing 13s pop up on the board right now for the Illini. What's the feeling right now in Champaign? What's your feeling about this game? What's the feeling with the program coming into the year this year? What's your take on Illinois and Bielema squad?
I mean, there's a lot of promise with Brent Bielema, obviously coming from Wisconsin, the track record he built, coming from, you know, what he built with, or what he was able to sustain with that program. Clearly, he's going after in-state offensive linemen. That's sort of he thinks the key to sort of unlock success in Champaign. I'm not sure if he's going to start, but look out for last name Kreutz, Olin Kreutz, who played center for the Chicago Bears. He was a center at Washington. His son is going to be a redshirt freshman at center, might get the start. I think the Illini offensive line is going to really build that team. Tommy DeVito, the former Syracuse quarterback, yeah, he's going to start Saturday for the Illini against Wyoming. I just don't think they're bringing in the UTSA offensive coordinator, so they're expecting a high-tempo offense this year. I just don't know if week one you're going to see them explode to win by 13 or 14 points to cover the spread. I think they'll win, but asking them at this current number to win by 13 or 14, I think it's going to be a little too much. Don't count out Craig Bull. It's not going to be the most exciting of games. I don't think offensively it's going to be a big showcase. It's probably going to be a sort of a street fight, at least for three quarters. But I think the Illini, the win total, you and I talked about this a few weeks ago at 4.5. I'd like them to go over that number and maybe fight for a bowl game. If they can get to 6 wins, they'll get to a bowl game this year.
You know, I brought this up earlier, Julio, on Game Time Decisions tonight about Illinois. You could agree, I'd agree or disagree. But you notice, is it just me or they sort of punch up or down to who they're playing, the competition? You know what I mean? Like they'll play a bad team and they'll be 10-10 in the fourth quarter as 14-point favorites, but they'll go to Penn State when getting 22 and beat them in overtime. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the thing with Illinois. Like, if they're a hard team to trust as a favorite. I do think they win the football game, but the point spread's getting out of hand, guys, because I wouldn't be surprised if it was like a 24-10 game. More with Julio on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
UEFA Champions League draw was drawn earlier in the day. Group C, Bayern Munich, Barcelona, Inter Milan, and Victoria Plzen. So that's a competitive group. We got the U.S. Open coming too, Julio. Julio Rosario joining us right now from the Windy City, our Windy City Sports Report. But, yeah, we'll get to the White Sox in a minute, a little Bears talk. But so, Julio, what do you got for us? We got college football. We were talking about Illinois. For the record, and these numbers are only going to go up, guys. So, like Nebraska, people are going to jump on Illinois. People are betting Vanderbilt. I just put in a moneyline parlay just to sort of get it out of the way. And it's Nebraska, Illinois, and Vanderbilt. So Nebraska to beat Northwestern, Vanderbilt to beat Hawaii, and Illinois to beat Wyoming. And we talked about Illinois, but let's keep it in the Windy City here with Northwestern. What's the feeling about this football game in the Windy City getting 12.5 points in Dublin against the Huskers?
Northwestern is one of those odd schools. It's like Vanderbilt, where they're in a major conference, but unless you're an alum or actually live or work at the university, you're not necessarily a big fan. Buzz around Northwestern, there's no offense, Gabe. Like, Pat Fitzgerald is always regarded as a great coach, which he is. If you look at his ATS record, he's outstanding. He's turned a lot in from nothing at Northwestern.
Let me just say, Julio, though. Standards. Yeah, but that was before, huh? I think he's seen his heyday. I will just say, in the new NIL, new modern stuff, he's complained the most about it. He's having a hard time in the modern era, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, not only can't Northwestern run the spread offense, but I agree, it's going to be difficult for them to compete with, hell, even Minnesota and Wisconsin or Illinois to compete with NIL money. Yes, Northwestern's a great school, but if you want to get a star kid from a private institution, you're going to have to pony up. And I don't think Pat Fitzgerald's really interested in that. He's always floated about the NFL. His name has floated around for years. Maybe in the coming years he does take a job or maybe leave for a bigger school. But yeah, there's no really offense for Northwestern. They'll have the defense. They might hang around for a half, maybe three quarters against Nebraska, but their win total is set for a reason. 3.5. I don't think they're going to win 3.5. I mentioned that a couple of weeks ago. I'll take them on the under at plus money. It's going to be a long season for the Wildcats in Evanston.
Last year, Julio gave us UTEP over 3.5 season win total, and it won easily. What do you think about UTEP this year? What do you think about this game? What are you betting this week? What do you like this week, Julio? College football, what do you got?
UTEP is like a band you've been following for years that you know they're really good. No one's talking about them, and now they've hit the mainstream. Everyone's talking about UTEP. I like UTEP. Look, they were 5.5 over the win total at plus money earlier in the summer. Now it's heavily juiced, I think minus 145, minus 150. It's going to be a good game. It's a pick 'em for a reason against North Texas. A lot of returning starters. UTEP's not the prettiest of offense. They're just a grind type of football team. Well coached, good type of players. It's going to be a near sellout at the Sun Bowl for the first time in years. I'm taking UTEP on the money line minus 110 for the weekend game. Let me catch my breath here. There's a lot to choose from. I put Nebraska in a money line parlay with a couple of soccer plays, Manchester City, PSG, Real Madrid, and Bayern Munich plus 186. Real Madrid, PSG, Bayern Munich, they should easily win their leagues respectively. The dog of the week on the soccer pitch, let's go with Leeds United plus 310 against Brighton. Leeds head by U.S. head coach Jesse March. A good sign. Been pretty decent in the Premier League in the first couple of weeks. Manchester United minus 130 against Southampton. Gabe, I'm going with your Whitecaps in the MLS plus 155 against Nashville Soccer Club. Let's go with under 2.5 Juventus against Roma on Saturday. NFL preseason, I like all unders, like you had mentioned earlier, Gabe. Give me Seahawks, Cowboys under 37.5. Next week, we'll go into the Seahawks being the worst team in football, and I love all their props at being one of the worst teams in football. But give me Seahawks, Cowboys under 37.5.
So you're taking the Seahawks, the prop to be the worst team in football. You think it's going to be Seattle?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
What is that? It's like 7-1, right? That's 700, right? Plus 700, yeah.
Yeah. Correct. Look, last week it was 4.5 week one against Denver. It's now gone up to 6.5. So if you like the Broncos week one, take them now, add them into your money line parlay, sort of like that open parlay. Put Denver in a parlay you like now because that number is only going to rise. I like the Vegas Raiders to beat New England on Saturday. Just because I think Cleveland's going to start the regular season in a terrible shape, give me the Bears plus 190 against Cleveland in the preseason finale and under 41.5 minus 105. Let's go with Wyoming plus 12.5 against Illinois. Again, I think the Illini win, but the number is climbing too high to where I think the Cowboys at least cover. You mentioned that UTEP win total, Gabe. I like UConn. I mentioned them a couple of times this summer. Their win total was over 2.5 plus 120. It's now at even money, so money's gone in on the Huskies. Look, Jim Moore Jr., you'd like this, Gabe. He said this in the Hartford Courant the other day. He acknowledged the Huskies as a huge underdog. He said, what was the quote? Let me try to pull that up here. Basically said, look, we know we're a huge underdog. No one's respecting us. We basically got to earn the respect. I kind of like that. He's basically telling the guys that no one respects them. Plus, you have a team with basically new transfers. They've got a quarterback from Penn State coming through, Texas, Colorado. They weren't with this UConn team last year or 2 years ago. Huskies went 6-6 last year against the spread. 26.5, I think, is too much. So give me UConn plus 26.5. And just because I love the number, give me the Huskies at 11-1 to beat Utah State on Saturday.
Whoa. Julio's coming with some bold picks here.
I got a few more for you.
Yeah, bring them on.
A few more for you.
You're on a roll.
Right,
bring them on.
Let's go with the Fighting Jerry Kills. I spoke about them 2 weeks ago. I love Jerry Kill as a college football head coach. He's one of those guys that can recruit C type of players and turn them into like a B plus, maybe a low A type player. I think he's going to revitalize New Mexico State. It's a sellout crowd in Las Cruces, their first nationally televised game in a couple of years. The numbers dropped for a reason. There's a reason Jay Norvell left Nevada for Colorado State. It's a program that won't invest just because the state of Nevada is basically broke. So give me New Mexico State plus 280 to beat Nevada on Saturday. And look, someone's got to tell me here. Hawaii win totals over 3.5, over 4.5, excuse me. Vanderbilt's win totals over 2.5. And yet the Commodores on the road in Hawaii are 8.5-point favorites. I'm not buying it. Give me Timmy Chang to revitalize the Rainbow Warriors. Hawaii plus 280 to beat Vanderbilt.
Wow. Did Matias get to you and bribe you before you came on? Julio calling some. I like this. Utah State's going to lose to UConn. Calling to Hawaii. We're on in Hawaii. They're going to love you. They're going to love you with the upset special. You're calling it.
Look, I was down on Hawaii in the winter. I thought that program was down in the dumps. People were transferring. Their quarterback left for San Jose State. I thought it was a program down in the dumps. They bring back Timmy Chang, an island hero who helped revitalize that program. Look, Vanderbilt, 8.5-point road favorites. Come on, give me Hawaii at home plus 280. I like it. If we can get to $3, I'll be even happy.
Yeah, well, wait. Wait, because it's probably going to get to 10 by kickoff. Everybody's jumping on Vandy late here right now. So, Julio, rough loss for the White Sox here tonight, huh? Rough one. Like five back now. Five back in the wild card, four back in the division. They cut it to two and stuff, and now you know they're it's a problem because you look Toronto has been hot. Tampa never loses suddenly again. Tampa's just doing their thing again, and Seattle are just sort of grinding away. And you got Cleveland, Minnesota, etc. But rough week for the Sox. It's almost the last stand weekend this weekend against the D-backs. They need to sweep them and get back on track.
Yeah, they need to sweep it. It was terrible week. If you're a White Sox fan watching Baltimore, you wish you were an Orioles fan because, look, the Orioles have been playing great baseball all season long. There's a reason why they're one of the best teams in the league on the run line. And tonight was almost the epitome of White Sox baseball. They had the win in the grasp. Their left fielder who comes into the game as a defensive replacement drops the ball down the left field line. If you look at the replay, it's the clear mistake of taking your eye off the ball. It's already a team that's one of the worst teams in baseball defensively. So you take your eye off the ball, you drop the what would have been the final out of the game. Two pitches later, it's a home run to tie the game. Wave the white flag, Gabe. The White Sox are done.
Maybe all the White Sox fans would get a White Sox relief, debt relief.
It's in the mail.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What about better? It's always about the students. Screw the students. Like, oh, the students. What about the students? Who cares? You know what I mean? What about the homeless people? And what about the betters? What about the... Nobody ever talks about the gamblers of the world. We keep the economy going. Pornography and gambling. Thanks, Julio.
Take care, Gabe.
Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Late Night Anger Management Class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Baretzi, Sirius XM Channel 159 on the Money or 1090 ESPN Radio. Countdown to kickoff continues, as does our team-by-team breakdowns. Let's talk Washington football. The Washington Commanders right now. The Washington Post, Cindy Boren joins us. Cindy, it's always a pleasure. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
Great to be with you.
So, Cindy, countdown to kickoff is on right now. Nationally, it's not like there's a ton of buzz around the Washington Commanders. But with that being stated, the odds makers do have their win total set at 8.5, which means they'd have to be 9-8 and be a winning football team. So it's not like the odds makers think that the sky has fallen or about to fall on this football team. I think they might be a little bit too ambitious with the win total at 8.5. What's your level of optimism on a scale of 1 to 10 coming into the season, Cindy?
Well, I think you call this the breakdown of the teams. Well, I think the Washington team is broken down. I really do. I think 8.5 is very optimistic. Perhaps that's based on the fact that they're in a division that isn't really it's not really loaded, is it? The it's not really a black and blue division. The Cowboys should be good. The Eagles may be better, but I don't think anyone has any real hopes that the Giants are going to improve much. Now, of course, I could be wrong, but boy, given what I've seen in preseason, I think 8.5 is, I think the technical word for that is crazy.
Wow, I like the term. Ooh, I like that term. I might use it in the future about getting Tate and
I watched that game against the Chiefs, and I know it's preseason, but you know when your offense can't convert on third down and your defense can't stop a team on third down. And again, it's with the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, but still, that seems to me when third down is a problem for on both sides of the ball. That just does not seem to bode well to me.
Let me ask you about Ron Rivera. He must just love, like, you almost ask yourself why. Like, if you think about, you know, his playing career, everything he's been through, successful coaching career, and then after coaching this football team, with everything that's gone on off the field, his players refuse to get vaxxed, you know, just the ownership situation, his assistant coaches, front office issues, and there's Ron Rivera just sort of marching on and marching through. It really is amazing, everything that this guy has gone through with this organization, that he still wants to coach this team, actually.
It was kind of a surprise when he wanted to coach it to begin with. And he's taken strides and put his imprint on it, but there's only so much he can do. The team went out and got Carson Wentz, a quarterback that, you know, two teams have given up on, including Frank Reich gave up on him, and that was the guy who kind of helped develop him in Philadelphia. I'm just not convinced that he's the guy. And, you know, the franchise's problems, I don't have to tell you this, go so far beyond football that there's really only so much Ron Rivera can do. And it would be sad to see him get fired, but you know this is a win or bust season for the football team, I think.
And it seems like you said there's going to be pressure on him, and you talk about win or bust. And what about Chase Young? I mean, does this lead to a bust early? The fact, as you stated, this camp doesn't have the best vibe, and you've got your best football player that's going to be out for a month. Is he going to be out for a month? What's your feeling on the Chase Young situation?
My feeling is it will be a little longer than that. I'm not a doctor. And I'm also not an assistant coach for the Commanders, but I think it'll probably be a game or two longer. And even once he comes back, you know, I don't think he'll be at full strength immediately. So I think you're probably looking at six games before you really see him be who he is, the force that he is.
So as far as Carson Wentz is concerned, what's your feeling through the camp? He's a very polarizing person in the media, but we've seen he can be polarizing with teams as well. So I guess I'll cut to the chase. We haven't heard any stories about, well, Carson Wentz has upset his teammates for whatever reason, right? So we sort of got that out of Indy, where it was like, yeah, man, he's just sort of, there's a problem with his personality. And I thought, you know, as you said something too, with Frank Reich. So they're there together in Philadelphia, and on top of it, Cindy, they were very good friends, right? They share the same faith. Yes. They, you know, they spoke about, you know, religion and family and not even football stuff. And I thought to myself after, I'm like, man, if Frank Reich couldn't do this, and even Frank had to admit, no, I can't do anything with this, then there must be something there. But what's it been like in Washington? Because quite frankly, we really haven't heard much about Carson Wentz nationally through the preseason.
And done everything that people expected him and hoped for him to do. He's been a great presence in the locker room. But I think everyone shares the concerns you just voiced. It's, you know, this guy couldn't make it in Indianapolis. And I guess the football team felt he was their best option. But in two games, let's see, he's completed 16 of 22 passes for 138 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, you know, very meh. On the other hand, he's been playing behind an offensive line with three starters that really haven't played. They just brought Logan Thomas back at tight end. So there should be some room for improvement there, but it's not going to take long before for him to wear out his welcome if he doesn't have some success in the early going.
Cindy Bourne from the Washington Post joining us. Cindy, one name that I've noticed by following the camp, in which it seems like what's going on with, or he's fallen on the depth chart, but I don't like to overreact to this stuff because I'm not there. I don't know. But what about Antonio Gibson? Is he having this rough camp that the perception is that everybody's writing about all the time?
Yeah, he did. He got in the doghouse with a fumble, and he acquitted himself well, though, with his performance on special teams. And I think he's kind of worked his way out of that. I think there's a better feeling about him now. That can always change, of course, but I think the feeling's a little better about him than it was a couple of weeks ago.
You know, Cindy, the schedule is manageable to start the season, isn't it? And I guess it's almost critical that they win games early because it gets harder as it goes on. So, you know, they host the Jaguars at Commanders. And has the Commanders stuck with you yet? Like, how many times have you had to pause before you're like, oh, yeah, Commanders?
Yeah, that's why I keep calling them Washington. You'll notice.
That was a better name, wasn't it? The Washington football team, I think, is better than the Commanders.
It was much better. Commanders is just doesn't work for anyone, frankly. They start with the Jaguars in a home game. They play then they play the Lions. Not beyond the realm of possibility that they could start 2-0. You know, although this team always underperformed, so maybe 1-1. But then they have the Eagles, followed by the Cowboys and the Titans. So things obviously take a turn pretty quickly. But, at least the first two games of the season are winnable. How's that? Winnable.
Manageable, yeah. I guess that's the word. Let me ask you, Sandy, because when people talk about this football team, you'll often hear, well, their defense is really good, right? That's sort of something that people will hang their hat on. I think, you know what? Yeah, it was pretty good like 2 years ago. And, you know, everybody sort of remembered and hung their hat on the, well, look what they did with Tom Brady and the Buccaneers in the playoff game, right? But the defense did regress. Is the defense the strength of the football team? Is the defense that good? And how much of an impact is Chase not being there? What about the secondary? So what about the defense? Like, is the defense that good, Cindy? Is that the strength of the team? And is the defense that good, or is it kind of just more average?
I think it's come down to earth. If opponents are converting on 60% of third downs, that's not really great. Obviously, losing Chase Young is problematic. The fact that he's not ready to return after his surgery, that takes a huge toll. And I think the person who's going to be who's going to catch flack is probably going to be Jack Del Rio if the defense is not strong, if they're not stopping people once the season gets going for real. I think there's going to be a lot of the criticism is going to be heaped on Jack Del Rio.
And guys, to put in context, the Washington football team last year, now the Commanders, gave up nearly 26 points a game, 25 and a half points a game. It's going to be a problem. So you mentioned, you know, the Giants aren't, you know, how much better the Giants were going to be. They have a new head coach. And you've got the Dallas Cowboys, who have lost Smith right now as well. I actually did pick the Eagles to win this division. Who do you think wins this division this year? Are the Eagles ready to? The Eagles are kind of the trendy pick right now with everybody. And I guess I'm a hipster, Cindy. I'm buying the hype with Philadelphia to win the NFC East. What's your prediction for the division?
I think it'll come down to the Eagles and the Cowboys. And I think the Cowboys will probably squeak past the Eagles. I don't really see any team blowing the division out of the water and winning, 11 or 12 games. I think it will once again be, you know, the 9-8 division winner that nobody feels tremendously great about. But I probably will roll with the Cowboys for now.
Before we get you out of here, we just got about a minute and a half or two. Is there a player, is there something you want to leave us with the Washington Commanders that, you know what, maybe we've been a little bit too negative, this guy's having a great camp, or you do feel good about this, about the football team? What's your final conclusion with the Washington football team for people tuning in right now, Cindy?
Hope. You want some hope, don't you? Well, it comes down to Carson Wentz, and honestly, he is the hope. And if they're going to have success, they have to have Carson Wentz be the guy that he was before he got hurt in Philadelphia, and Nick Foles took his job. That's what they need. And presumably, he's in a position. You know, he's got good receivers. He's got decent running backs. The offensive line will get better. You know, the starters will be healthy, and it's on him. You don't win in the NFL really without a quarterback, and it's on Carson Wentz. He seems to be accepting of it, but it could turn great or it could turn badly very quickly.
So final question, Cindy, under 8.5 for this football team, what do you think the record will be?
7-10.
Yeah, I get that feeling as well.
Yeah, probably seven. And again, you know, it's such a crapshoot, but I'll say probably 7-8 victories somewhere.
Sorry, go on, Cindy.
In that area. Somewhere in that area, seven. I like seven.
Sticking with seven. All right, that's not bad. I'm thinking under 8.5 as well. Like 8 and 9 would almost be an accomplishment, actually, to be honest. Like, I don't know where they came up with this. Oh, they're going to be a winning football team. Cindy, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for taking the time to beat us. We're just a couple of weeks away from the season, and should be a really wild one and competitive year in the NFL this year.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
Thank you for your time, Cindy. Always a pleasure.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Thanks to Cindy Boren for kicking it with us. You know what? Earlier today, tonight on the TV show on Game Time Decisions, I was looking through my phone and I was looking at active plays because basically I was live on the air tonight and I wanted to put some bets in. And I look at my account. I'm like, I'm out of money. I'm like, how am I out of money? I just had like $1,146 in my account last night and I didn't lose money. I won a couple of $100. So I was really baffled. I was like, yeah, whatever. I knew. I was like, yeah, I put a bunch of futures in last night, but you know, was it like 4 a.m? I was chilling out on my balcony in the overnight hours. I sort of on my phone. I'm putting bets in left and right. But I was really baffled because I was looking at the plays today. And I was like, all right, I put 250 on that. And like, you know what I mean? You know, I'm big on, all right, let's just get it to 1,000, right, to win 1,000. So, you know, these divisions, 260 and odd plus two, you know, plus 250, 250 to win 1,000 or whatever. So I was kind of baffled. I'm like, man, where'd the money go? So I had to load in today. I put another dime in today, but I crushed it. We went 9-0 tonight. So I'm really rolling these things over, man. And then I clued in. I'm talking to Cindy here. And I clued in. I'm like, man, didn't I put the Washington bet in already? I keep talking about Washington Commanders. Oh, the Washington Commanders, they're not winning 9 games. And I'm like, didn't I put this damn bet in? And I look, and I was like, no, I didn't. And I just realized I did. Thank God. $520. So there's the extra money. You see, I have so many futures going on. I don't even know what the hell I'm doing anymore. I'm going to do a bunch of videos, and we're going to have a show. We're going to have a couple of shows before the season starts. Like, basically, Labor Day weekend, we're going to have a football special next week. It's going to be just all futures. Like, bam. Like, so everything is documented. We'll be able to look back on it. If you want to bet it, you can, like, okay, what did he talk about again? You get it all at once, and you can listen to the podcast. I understand we're on Spotify now as well. I don't know if we can get the same hits Meghan Markle got. Bring it.